Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 12th of July. This is Paul White, and we're journeying through verse by verse 1 Peter chapter 1, and today we are in the 6th verse. We started the 6th verse yesterday, sort of connected it backwards to that 5th verse where salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. And I told you that I think Peter is connecting it to the reservation of your inheritance in heaven, being on the other side of the grave. But I want to clarify that a little bit. I do think that Peter is pointing us forward to heaven, but I also think he is heading towards that 20th verse in these last times. So I don't want to be dishonest, or that's probably not. I don't want to be careful. I don't want to fail to be careful to the text and the context. That's very important to me. I think Peter is starting a move towards what I think has definite eschatological implications, definite last times implications, in that he is about to talk about the persecutions and the tribulations, and some of this is just that general mob violence we told you about at the beginning of this study, beginning of the month, that probably puts Peter's letter in the mid-50s, some 20 years after the resurrection, but possibly up to 15 years before the fall of the temple in Jerusalem, that cataclysmic, what I think Jesus referred to as day of vengeance. And that's the end event that the New Testament writers keep warning is at hand or is presently upon them. So you have to keep that in mind as you move forward, because you need to keep within your consciousness the fact that the readers that Peter is aiming at are going through persecution, in some cases, violent tribulations. But Peter is, let's don't worry so much yet about where this is on the eschatological timeline. Let's look at how he handles it, because that matters to us, how you handle persecution and what you might look like on the other side of it. That's usable material. We can argue about timing, and perhaps the argument of timing is necessary, and I'm okay with that. I don't really like to argue, but I'm not using argue in a negative sense as much as I am a positive sense of mining out and unpacking truth. We probably should go down that road, and we will a little bit, and that's fine. But practical day-to-day theology is what does the author do with this stuff? It's not just a warning about an end event. In fact, there is no warning coming up. This is all just an encouragement by Peter to his audience to look at their persecution differently. Don't be discouraged by it. Don't think you're being punished. Don't think it's unusual. Don't think you've been abandoned. Rather, see it as something special. See it. Let's look at 6 and 7 together. I'm not going to rush them, but I want you to see where Peter's going. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the next verse is joy unspeakable. Peter is saying, listen, there are some things you're going through, and I like the phrase, for a little while. And that within itself is encouraging. This came to pass. It didn't come to stay. You're going through some stuff for a little while. You've been grieved by it. He doesn't mock them or reprimand them for being grieved. Being grieved by what you're going through doesn't mean you're faithless. It doesn't mean you're not holy or spiritual. You know, I went through a phase there, and particularly in a certain branch of Pentecostalism, where, man, if you spoke negative about your situation, oh my gosh, there was always somebody to jump down your throat and tell you that you needed to stop talking that way. Well, maybe somebody should have told Peter, because, you know, he says, look, you're grieved by various trials. In the Greek, he actually uses the phrase distressed. Well, distressed is darn near discouraged. So Peter's, you know, saying you're a little bit discouraged about what's going on. He doesn't smack them and say, God forbid, or I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, but rather says, I know you're distressed. I know you're discouraged. I know you're grieved. But if you'll look at it this way, maybe you'll feel differently. Maybe you will, if you'll look at it, that your faith is going to come out more precious than gold that's been tested by fire. You are gold. You are in fire. Your faith is going to be better than pure gold that comes out of fire. Well, that's a good way of looking at things. Peter's just spinning it a little bit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with spinning it in the right direction. He's spinning it away from distressed and discouraged and downtrodden and into, what if we come out looking better? Man, I've been through some stuff. I've had trying of my faith. The trying of our faith works patience. Well, I've had my faith tried and tested to where I didn't just straight up didn't know that we were going to make it. I didn't know, you know, this whole thing may just come to an end because we don't have what it takes. Maybe we don't have enough people. We don't have enough help. We don't have enough money. We're lacking. And people, you could say, well, you don't need to say that. Don't say you're lacking. Say you got it all. Well, you know, I faced my share of distress. What I found is on the other side of it, and I'm trying to learn to spin this properly in my own spirit. When we come out, we're going to be like gold tried in fire. We're going to be better on the other side. And I have found that. So I can go back and look at moments in my life and ministry, particularly over the last 3 or 4 years, and say, man, didn't know we were going to make that. Didn't see that coming around the corner. Didn't think we were going to get out of that. I think we're better off for it. I think I'm preaching better or teaching better or expounding more. We mining out. That very phrase, gold, brings something to mind. I had a prophecy spoken over me in a church recently, and I amened it. I believed it. I grabbed it, and I ran with it. And the individual said, you are mining deep, and you are mining for gold. And they said, keep mining. Keep digging deep. You will find things others haven't found. Well, I don't really know what that means, but it spoke to my spirit, and I don't even know why I shared that with you. I think because I had that idea of coming out of fire like gold on my mind. Well, I'll believe it for myself, and I think you ought to be believing for yourself that whatever discouragements and distresses and trials you're going through, you're going to come out more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire. Look at the last phrase of verse 7. May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation is the apocalypto. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe Peter is speaking eschatologically. I believe he is speaking of what the early church spoke of as the appearance of Jesus, that riding on the cloud, that coming in judgment against a system. And I think that's what the book of Revelation was speaking towards. I don't want to take that out of its context. If you needed this to be spiritual, you could say, wherever Jesus is revealed in you, there's praise, honor, and glory, and that the revelation of Jesus will always come to you at the end of your being tried by fire. Well, I would not discount that. It may not be primarily what Peter's saying, but I wouldn't discount that as an interpretation because it seems pretty appropriate to me. That 8th verse says something pretty awesome, and I'll save it for tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.